SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 10 minutes into hour two and looking forward to this visit with Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Sid, I'm in Tampa. I'm guessing you're across state up north?
Yeah. Steve, can you hear me?
Steve? Yeah, there you go.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Yeah, I'm across state. I'm going to be going to Tampa myself because my son Joe's got a game there, but not for a couple of weeks.
Well, you go into, you know, I don't know, I hadn't even thought about this. You swinging into Ocala for the sale next week?
Yeah, I'm going to be there on March 12th, just for the day, and then I'll be at Craig Burnick's Glen Hill crawfish boil that night, and then the next morning I got to get back for a game on Wednesday.
Nice. Well, I'm actually toying. I haven't talked to Tom Venturi yet, but I think there's a chance. I mean, the HBPA convention doesn't start till Wednesday, so I may swing into Ocala and be there for the Breeze Show, and I thought that might be fun Monday and Tuesday. So there's a chance that we intersect there, and if we do that, we'll have a lot of fun. We can
And you got to stop by the crawfish boil. I'm sure Craig won't mind that I'm inviting.
I appreciate it. I having just been in New Orleans though, and the mud bugs were prominent. We had a little etouffee. I forget. I don't even remember where it was. Like a bar. Like when Tina came in, the night she came in, and she got in kind of late. So we, you know, none of the major restaurants were open. It was like 11:30. We ended up having fabulous food in just a dive bar, which is
excellent.
Which is what makes New Orleans favorites. New Orleans. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And by the way, Craig gets his crawfish from New Orleans.
You bet. Undoubtedly. Well, one of the other, I'm over here on the West Coast, and I'm staying near Tarpon Springs, and about 10 miles from the track, and I have not been here in ages, and I haven't stayed in this area. I last, what is it, 3 years ago when we were in Clearwater for the HBPA, but for the track and for the purposes of, you know, a few overnights on the shore, I can remember going to the, I'm going to forget the name of the place. There's a very famous Greek seafood joint right on the docks, on the sponge docks. And I'm absolutely, the next day or two, I'm going to swing. My mother, a tribute to her, because she loved, we came here when I was a kid, and that was one of her favorite things. And when we went to California, the place that the cannery, the famous cannery joint for abalone.
Oh, nice.
Certain things about your parents that stick in your mind.
By the way, I've really enjoyed your food tour.
That's
yours and Tina. I mean, you guys should really put that down somehow. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, we've been doing the same thing with you and with Joe's exploits, and what a tremendous weekend he had against the Buckeyes.
Oh yeah, no, thank you very much. You know, I decided, since it's his last year, he's not on social media. You know, all these other guys are, and it's his last year in college, so I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to document it, primarily, Steve, because so many of his older brothers, friends follow me, and a lot of his friends from childhood follow me because they don't, because he's not on social media. And so all these kids, you know, are getting a chance to follow along with, you know, what he's doing. So it's been great.
Nice, nice. Well, he's having a terrific season. And, of course, last year interrupted by a freak injury that, you know, kind of put a dent in his junior year. So ideally he gets the attention of, you know, the attention of scouts and finds a place to start a pro career next summer.
Yeah, knock on wood, thank you. Well, you know, he's really focused. He just takes everything one day at a time. And, you know, it's a great approach to take, because you kind of don't get distracted when you get scouts there at the games, and you just, you know, kind of super focus on just every at-bat. But I'll tell you what, Steve, Cookman, I told you before, you know, this is not a... you know, it's a thin squad, only 27 guys instead of the normal 35-man roster. Thin on pitching, but they took 2 out of 3 against Boston College ACC, and then the 4-game series against the Buckeyes, who were the Big Ten champs last year. They split 2-2, which is really a tremendous achievement for these guys. I mean, they're overachieving.
Well, hope that they get sustained opportunity for some of the scouts, and based on what I'm seeing from you, the scouts have been well in attendance too. I mean,
there were 26 scouts at the Boston series. It was incredible, and you know, quite a few at the Ohio. At the Ohio series, and you know, it can get kind of distracting for these young guys, because you know, they got these scouts watching, and they got guns on the pitchers, you know, and it can be distracting. But you know, fortunately, Joe's a senior; he's kind of been through this kind of stuff, and like I said, you know, he's just really enjoying playing, and you know. I knock on wood, but I mean, against the 2 series, it was 5-for-10 against Boston College and 6-for-12 against Ohio State. So he went 11-for-22, 500 against 2 very tough
nice
teams. Yeah, and, you know, it's obviously hard to sustain that type of stuff through a season, but it's a great start, and, you know, I'm just looking forward to, like I said, each game, one game at a time.
Nice. Well, gonna keep rooting along, and maybe we got a couple of weeks here, about 10 days, but we'll be back in Florida at the end of the month for the Gulfstream sale and for Florida Derby week. So maybe the schedule.
I'll keep you posted. Yeah,
so please.
Yeah,
that'd be huge. Well, and I think right now I'd say I'm about 65% sure that I'll make the Ocala run Monday and Tuesday. So that could be perfect.
Yeah,
Sid, let's scout, do some scouting on the Derby Trail. And, of course, we had this Titanic group that came together for the Fountain of Youth. And before we talk about the Gotham and the Tampa Bay Derby participants, let's examine what transpired from your perspective. And as was pointed out to Shug himself on Monday, any trail to the Derby and the Triple Crown season is better with Claude Ray on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know he went to the Derby with Orb. You know, when he sent notice with that big allowance win at 9 furlongs, and he took that colt all the way. This colt for Will Farish. Is from the first crop that's Code of Honor of Noble Mission, who's by Galileo, full brother to Frankel, who's just absolutely on fire, you know, as a stallion. And, I mean, it really, it's something that bodes extremely well on so many different levels, just speaking of noble mission, that Lane then would, you know, take this horse, the son of Galileo, give him a shot at stud here. Now, the Galileos are just phenomenal. Galileo is a phenomenal stallion, obviously. He's never had a dirt-graded winner himself. And he's had several sons at stud here. You know, nothing has really happened, but Noble Mission right now, to come out with his first crop, promising colt on the Triple Crown Trail, grade two winner now in dirt, a huge sign, you know, and it's something you and I have talked about, that these imports historically have always come here that have influenced the breed and performed on dirt. And, you know, this is could be the opening of something big with the full brother to Frankel, you know, succeeding here.
Looking at this, and I'm struck again, the presence of a Dixie Union mare. And it seems so odd that, you know, that Dixie Union, as a broodmare sire, would, mm-hmm. you know, would influence and have, you know, whatever is in, you know, hidden in his pedigree that has enabled the horses seemingly to, you know, to get a route of ground. I mean, or is it a speed contribution that Dixie Union mares are offering?
Well, that's a good point. Bill Farish, you know, talks about a speed contribution. He's probably correct in that. But two things. First off, you know, Noble Mission brings a hell of a lot of stamina to the plate, just to begin with. He stayed farther and better than, I don't want to say better, but, you know, he was a more stouter type of horse than Frankel himself, who was absolutely brilliant, was a Guineas winner who, you know, Henry Cecil didn't even want to touch in the Derby as a three-year-old, extra trip. But Galileo and Sadler's Wells, that top line brings so much stamina to the plate. I'm glad you touched on Dixie Union, because he's turning into a phenomenal broodmare sire. And Lane then stood him. He died prematurely. They'd stood his sire as well, Dixieland Band, a son of Northern Dancer. This is a very influential young broodmare sire, because with Lane's End's marquee sire at the moment, Quality Road, he's the broodmare sire of Salty by Quality Road. He's the broodmare sire of Klimt by Quality Road. And he's the broodmare sire of Caledonia Road by Quality Road. Now, those are three G1 winners by Quality Road out of Dixie Union mares, okay? That's pretty amazing. Will Farish is a master breeder. He knows that Dixie Union was starting to show incredible signs as a broodmare sire. He also understands that the Galileo himself had produced a Group 1 winner in Europe named Cima di Triomphe. And that horse, when he went to stud, he was bred to a Dixie Union mare and produced a Group 1 winner called Dacitos, okay? So what you have, Steve, is that you have a Group 1 winner on this exact cross to begin with. So it was a natural to think about a Dixie Union mare for Noble Mission, like Cima di Triomphe, a son of Galileo. On the female side of things, if you look at his pedigree, you'll note that his a sister to his dam produced a a stakes horse in Japan named Live Concert by Singspiel, a Saddler's Wells line horse. So what you're having is the sire line has done well with Dixie Union. This female family of Code of Honor has done well with Saddler's Wells. So it's a very harmonious kind of pedigree on both sides of the family.
You know, I'm just a name kind of caught my eye looking at Code of Honor, and you know, Noble Mission is going to take, you know, obviously is going to get a lot of attention as we discuss going forward. You know, his prospects. You know, I asked Shug about potential distance limitations, and he is confident that the mile and the eighth certainly is not an issue for him, and we'll see about the mile and a quarter. But I'm looking down at the female family, Sid, and overall, Code of Honor, you know, is pretty heavily inbred to Northern Dancer, and you know, there's a pair of Blushing Groom in here, top and bottom, right. 5x4, and also 5x5, the Mr. Prospector. There's the presence of the fourth dam, Faneuil Hall, by Bellina's Boy. I mean, a horse that really didn't have any, you know, notable accomplishments on his of his own, and I'm not even sure if he was a fancy sibling for him to even get a chance to stand at stud.
Known as a speed influence, though.
Okay,
you know, yeah. Known as a speed influence, Bellina's Boy. You know, we're going back now with Bellina's Boy into the, you know, I think he was, he's a foal of 58, so we're talking into the 60s. He was a natural line horse, you know, not a massive sire, like you said, but what he was known as was a big speed influence in pedigrees.
Well, and the dam, I mean, Faneuil Hall, I mean, she, Farnsworth Farm, and both Charlie Handelman, and then Bud Lettman owned Faneuil Hall, and a track record holder at 5.5 at Hialeah.
There you go, exactly. Then she was then bred to Bold Forbes, who was a very fast horse, but stayed to win the Derby for Laz Pereira, as well as the Belmont. But his speed was his game, too. So the mating there produced the Code of Honor's third dam, Bold Boston. She then was bred to the sprinter, the Blushing Groom sprinter, Mount Livermore. Got the second dam, Tivoli. Tivoli then was bred to the very fast, you know, miler-type Dixie Union. So as Bill Farish, I read somewhere, had noted, you know, a lot of American dirt speed here, crossed with European staying power.
And boy, and you really, you say that, and until you note the, you know, the tail male line. So Noble Mission out of a Danehill mare, herself out of a Rainbow Quest mare, herself out of a Stage Door Johnny mare.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It is just stamina on stamina on stamina,
right.
And this is an inverted, kind of an inverted pedigree with all the staying on top and the speed on the bottom, which is not what we're used to in the modern era.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you know what was always historically done with a lot of these European imports, immediately what you think about with them is that obviously they stayed pretty well. And a lot of the success, what breeders want to do, is they want some early first crop runners to get the name of that stallion out there. You know, they can't afford, especially these days in a commercial environment, you can't afford to let your staying horses dawdle without something out there right away. So what do? You breed American dirt speed to them to hopefully try to get a couple pop early so that when, say, his most of his horses, say, might mature in a middle three-year-old season or early three-year-old season, you've got some name recognition going. And that's a perfect case here. Now, this colt was a 70,000 RNA, by the way. So Will Farish decided he liked him well enough to keep him, send him to Shug, and, you know, this colt obviously made some noise last year, kept his sire in the limelight. That's exactly what this mating was intended to do.
Let's also, and we're certainly, you know, certainly fairly bullish on what's going to come forward for Code of Honor, and I was taking a wait-and-see attitude going into Saturday. Bourbon War came running late, Sid, and you know, is going to be heavily fancied you know, going another 16th of a mile. Some of that may be a little, I'd be a little cautious about it, but in terms of a horse bred to be, you know, cut out to be a good one, he's by Tappet, and he's out of the very nice My Conquistadori, the Artie Schiller mare, and you got a very, he's got a very young female family when you think about My Conquistadori and her dam, Golden Artemis, that is a Malibu Moon. I mean, boy, to see Malibu Moon as the second broodmare sire, and then Dove Hunt and Exclusive Gem, you know, down the looking down the tail female, you know, Bourbon War should only improve with I would think with maturity. I'm not worried about the distance portion of things based on his running style, but I think maturity will go a long way to, you know, to maybe getting him to be a little bit more tactical, perhaps.
Yeah, this is absolutely right, and let's keep in mind that, you know, this could be, you know, if you're going to reach just on what Tappet has done, he's an excellent candidate from the way he runs and with the sire and everything built in, as you point out, for the Belmont. Look at the absolute success that Tappet has had in the Belmont. And, you know, you get a colt here that looks like, you know, he's got a running style that is ideally suited for that. There's a couple of other things. He's inbred 3x4 to AP Indy, Belmont winner, you know. And that's a lot of stamina right there when you double up on AP Indy in a pedigree like this.
No doubt. And I'll also note, you know, I see that My Conquistadori, who we remember, of course, from Mark Cassie's experience with her, and I didn't look at the subsequent foal that this had to be the first foal for My Conquistadori. It looks like Conquest Stables, and they hung on to, I don't know if they've maintained the ownership of My Conquistadori, but you know, given I think what ended up being some frustrations from the Conquest team, if they're gonna, if they held on to a couple of the nice mares that they campaigned, they might see some long term return on their original investments.
Well, I think My Conquistadori was sold for $1.5 million.
Okay.
Lane's and his agent bought, it was SF Bloodstock and Newgate Stud in partnership bought her at the Keeneland November breeding sale. So this colt, Bourbon War, had already been on the ground himself. And that's why Conquest is Conquest is the owner.
Right.
I mean, the breeder, but the mare is in the hands of SF Bloodstock. And in fact, was sent to Australia after having this colt. She was barren to Capitalist, the horse of Newgate Stud. Now, one of the reasons she would probably have been sent to Australia is Artie Schiller, a shuttle horse, has had a lot of success in Australia as well. But yeah, it was a 1.5 million sale. Bourbon War was the first fold, a Tappet. The second fold was a 17, a Tappet Philly. And then in 18, she was Baron to Capitalist.
Okay. Well, and now I'm seeing that Tappet Philly went for $775,000 as a Keeneland Yearling, the two-year-old this year.
Exactly. And you see the big return they got on that initial outlay of $1.5 million, right?
Amazing.
Half of it right back with the one horse.
Amazing. Well, yeah. And that just shows you how it works on the high end.
Right.
Well, could be that Conquest, name will live on here through Bourbon War with them as the breeder, and happy to see Mark Hennig, and the Bourbon Lane team, Lake Star Stable partnered as well, but Mike McMahon and his partners. Mm-hmm. This is exciting. I think they've had some nice horses. This feels like maybe their breakthrough horse.
Yeah, and also kind of an elite horse, because this horse, obviously he does anything. He's as a son of Tappet, it's gonna be lights out. Obviously, potential stallion prospect. So there's a lot riding with this horse.
Interesting to see.
And he was a $410,000 euro weanling. He himself.
Well, and that was, look at that. I see it at November 16.
Yeah.
Well, this group, this whole group, I, what was your, from a race standpoint, let me ask you from that viewpoint, what were your thoughts? And certainly Hidden Scroll is going to go on, and I don't think he embarrassed himself at all. I know people are just beating up on Joel Rosario. I frankly don't see it. I don't see what was so egregious. But the Hidden Scroll is going to go forward for Judd Mont, and I don't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot to ask. Came back, and as everyone knows what happened, changed the speed, and this is really set up for these closers. But I think that I agree with you. I mean, what's not to, like a horse wins big first time, comes back, runs a real good race in defeat. And, he's with a master trainer. He's got the right ownership. And they're always going to do what's right for the horse.
Very much, I did note with Andy the other day, because he was kind of speculating that maybe Mott would and Garrett O'Rourke might pull back, but Garrett O'Rourke did. I thought the very germane statement came from Garrett when he said, Abdullah, he's not getting any younger. At what is he, 80? 81 maybe, how many chances are you going to get to win a Derby?
Yeah, it's just the only thing that was puzzling to me about this horse is that I don't think this horse was in a stable. I don't think he was fully highly thought of from the very beginning, just because they sold the dam for $7,500 at Keeneland September 17. And they sold the full sister. What was her name? Makata for $2,000. Just this past January 19th, you could have bought the full sister at the Keeneland January sale for $2,000. So I don't think the Judd Mont itself was, based on that, expecting quite a lot, because if they were, they would not have sold the dam or the sister, and they sold another Hardy Schiller half-sister, Trade Mission, last December for the equivalent of $2,000 as well. So with that in mind, you have to figure that this was an added bonus and something they hadn't figured upon. So that's something, you know, you kind of look at the entire organizational structure. That's one of the tightest operations around, very savvy. Those are a few clues that, I think it's a bonus for them what they're getting.
Yeah, I just pulled up the family, and what is notable is, you know, they made two visits with her to Harlan's Holiday, and then after his passing, they went to Hardspun 3 out of 4 years with the expectation that there was going to be something there. So they've been rewarded, yeah. And one visit to that trade mission by Artie Schiller, and so that that's a. What's going on with that? I don't know what's going on with that. That's Trade Mission, who is 4 years old and is winless in three starts.
Sold at Tattersall for the equivalent of $2,000.
Amazing, yeah. Oh yeah, and also that Makata. I mean, wow. So really, there has not been. This is kind of a jack in the box a little bit out of this mare.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. You got to see the entire picture.
You know,
if they sold Makata, the full sister, just in January, 2 months ago, okay, you've got to think that this is a bonus. That what happened was his colt was coming along well last year. He was actually supposed to run last year. He didn't. And with really no success, and the fact that I think he had a little bit of an injury that stopped him from running last year. They said, he's training well. He got a little injured, but, you know, Bill Mott thinks he's pretty good. But you know what? Let's go ahead and dump everything, including January 19th, December 18th, you know. And then the horse wins big. And so, like I said, I think it was a bonus to them that this happened.
Pretty interesting. I want to bring up one more horse that I think we'll end up talking about at some point. I don't think last year at two we had a chance to do anything with Vekoma. You know, Candy Ride, a name, and certainly a horse that we've discussed plenty. I thought what was notable about Vekoma's pedigree was worth touching on, the presence of the mating of, you know, Candy Ride with that Mona de Mama, the Spitestown, and when you distilled Mona de Mama, you get the cross that basically was produced back up to Crypto Clearance, Mr. Prospector and Hoist the Flag, and then they're duplicated in Mona de Mama's pedigree, and other than that, Vekoma's a clean. He's got a clean pedigree, but I thought it was fascinating that, you know, the way Mr. Prospector and Hoist the Flag are positioned in the female family, when you look at what Crypto Clearance brought to this, of course, as the sire of Ride the Rails, and Ride the Rails having gotten Candy Ride, it's really unique, because Hoist the Flag, the sire of Naval Orange, and of course Mr. Prospector got Fappiano, who got Crypto Clearance.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Interestingly, I'm doing my TDN column, which will be out this Saturday instead of Friday, only because Game Winner's not running. It's on Candy Ride, and I'll be touching on Vekoma too. Very good point you made there. What you have is, you know, when you have certain stallions Hoist the Flag, Mr. Prospector, they both stood at Claiborne, and it's inevitable their lines are going to mix, you know. And so that's one component to it. And that's how, basically, you know, when you think about the big picture, that's how nicks actually start. Say, for example, Prince Quillo is a Claiborne older stallion. They've got a lot of daughters. Now they've retired a new horse like Bold Ruler. What they do is they, and it's an old style thing, it's still done in South America, they'll take the daughters of the older stallion, the Prince Quillo mares, and breed them to the young gun, Bold Ruler. And then when you get a horse like Secretariat, who's by Bold Ruler out of a Prince Quillo mare, you know, you've got a new Nick, which is an extension of Bold Ruler, Nash Ruler with Prince Quillo. And you know, that's how things start. That's how things start to happen. Normally, in this particular case, it's an interesting thing that breeding theorists have known for a while. But when you cross Mr. Prospector with Mr. Prospector, and how that, and that's what's happening here, as you point out. Mona de Mama is by Spitestown, who's by Don West, who's by Mr. Prospector. And Candy Ride is by Ride the Rails, by Cryptic Clearance, by Fappiano, by Mr. Prospector, right? Essentially, you're crossing Mr. Prospector over Mr. Prospector. And what breeding theorists have known for a long time is that the best way to inbreed to Mr. Prospector is through Fappiano. And bingo, that's the cross, that's the link here. It's with the Fappiano line, for some reason, has melded very well when bred back to the Mr. Prospector line. And that inbreeding through Fappiano, if you look at a lot of crosses to Mr. Prospector, you'll see that inevitably, it seems, Fappiano is involved. Now, having said that, Fappiano really, his power is through unbridled, and that line, or Empire Maker, these lines have become the prominent expression of Fappiano. Crypto Clearance is an oddball expression. He wasn't the sire of sires. He had many better horses than Ride the Rails. But it was Ride the Rails that was sent to Argentina to Alejandro de Mendizábal's Haras Abolengo. Great farm, stood Equalized there, stood Candy Stripes there. And Abolengo bred Candy Ride. And so Candy Ride had this, and again, just to go back to what I mentioned, of course, Abolengo stood Candy Stripes. So the daughters of Candy Stripes were bred to the new stallion, which is Ride the Rails. That's what Candy Ride is a product of. Ride the Rails out of a Candy Stripes mare. Bred by Abolengo, brought back to the United States, brought to the United States where the Craigs raised him. It was a brilliant horse in Argentina. Three starts, three wins, won the Anchorino, which is the premier miler event there. Came here. Only made three starts, but, you know, won that big grade one against Medaglia d'Oro, sub a 2 minute mile and a quarter. He was plagued by incredibly brittle feet, had only six lifetime starts. With that pedigree, nobody wanted to touch him. Enter John Sikora of Hillendale. I'll take him, he said, even though he had to hold on to him for a year before he could get the stud. By that time, the sheen was kind of off the rose, and nobody even knew about Candy Ride when he went to stud for $10,000. John, as he's done with so many horses, got this horse going with an odd pedigree, and he happened to be in an era where, you know, with that type of oddball pedigree, he took to all the major lines that were around, the Stormcat, AP Indy, other lines of Mr. Prospector, as we just pointed out, and just took off. He's now standing for $80,000. The Wygod eventually came in, Marty Wygod, and took, bought a lot of the shares that the Craigs had. And Wygod is a big client of Lane's End, and with the majority interest in it, unfortunately for John, Candy Ride was then moved to Lane's End, and he's continued to go from strength to strength. And one of the big nicks that he ridden is that Stormcat link. You know, you've had a shared interest. You've had Gun Runner. You've had that big cross there with Stormcat. Then with the AP Indy line, he's had Mastery. He's had Game Winner. Vekoma is from that Mr. Prospector line. So he's succeeded. He's gone up to $80,000. And, you know, again, a horse without a big pedigree, certainly a sire line to Fappiano goes through Ride the Rails and Crypto Clearance, two oddballs. But, you know, he's become one of the top stallions in this country.
Well, no doubt, and looks to have a presence again this year, as well as all kinds of interesting stallion types that populate this weekend's action. Looking forward to the Gotham, of course, and Tampa Bay. We're going to table the San Felipe participants, Sid, for probably at least a week. We'll see where that shakes out. But I, as always, appreciate the, you know, the analysis, the time, and there's a good chance we'll be together to do some recapping Tuesday in Ocala.
Oh, that would be great. I look forward to seeing you. I'll try and make it over there. And if not, you know, we'll be chatting all spring, and, you know, we'll be talking baseball and racing.
Exactly. And everything else.
Yeah.
Sid Fernando, folks. And you follow Sid, of course, on Twitter. Sid Fernando and Sire Watch and Hill and Dale Farm. And looking forward to catching up either the next week or maybe during the Gulfstream sale with John Secura and Donato Lanny and the team and Jared and everybody at Hill and Dale with the breeding season well underway. And you can absolutely work with Sid at Work Thoroughbred Consultants. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back because Marty McGee together again for the first time. Here we are at Tampa, and Marty, this is my first day ever broadcasting at Tampa.
You're a rookie there, Bic.
Well, you know, a little bit. I got a little experience. We'll get your views from what's gone on the backstretch. They'll be drawing. What time do they draw here?
It'd probably be about 1 o'clock Eastern.
All right.
Like that.
All right. Well, quick turnaround, come back, talk to Marty. And, of course, we've also got the future wager, Oaks, the only Oaks opportunity. And pool number 3 of the Kentucky Derby future wager. Back after this to Tampa Bay Downs with DRF McGee.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at pabred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.